Chapter 35. Valtor.
That old turnip better not muck this up, Valtor groused.
Stepping back from his table, he grabbed his staff by the wolf's head and made his way down the open stairwell of his chambers in the White Tower. Its clacking on the stone tile ricocheted off the walls and ceiling as he passed. Waving his hand, the large double doors at the front of the assembly room opened, giving passage to the outer hallway beyond. The two guards, in their pristine white uniforms, jumped to attention and stepped aside as he swept by. His course was set. No delays, no deviations, no distractions. Valtor knew what he needed to do. He knew where he must go. His grip on the staff tightened, biting into the palm of his hand, as he tried to keep them from shaking. On through the torch-lit passageways he strode. On through the winding stairwells he climbed. Countless doors passed in the dark as his steps directed him to a small corridor off a grand intersection. Raising a hand, he closed his eyes and spoke an incantation to lower the protective wards that guarded the room on the other side. A dark layer of green mist materialized and then lowered into the floor, allowing him passage beyond. There had been many wards placed throughout the ancient keep, preventing access to all but those with the capability of diffusing such magic. A few of the wards were of Valtor's making, but many had been conjured centuries ago. Some of them were well beyond his capabilities to master, and thus the contents of those rooms remained a mystery, untouched by time. They had been created by wizards of the Second Age, wizards whose power and control over the elements matched those of even the Fae themselves. He had discovered the warding of this particular room in one of the many journals of magic he had secretly confiscated from the libraries at Erremor. No one had any idea as to the amount of information stored within those shelves. Valtor had only been too willing to put it to good use. Of late, the only person bearing any interest at all in the ancient lore was Queen Elise. He only hoped her affinity for the magic of the Second Age didn't cause problems for him down the road. Opening the door, he stepped into the dark room. He waved his hand, and the torches resting in their rusted-out wall racks burst to life. The outer perimeter of the chamber floor was comprised of the same dust-covered stone as the corridor outside. Its center, however, was covered in white limestone. Around the smooth surface was a circular row of dark red pillars, with veins of black marble diverging out from around their massive trunks like branches from a gnarled tree, spreading upwards in search of the sun. Sitting atop the pear-shaped pillars rested 13 stone-faced gargoyles, each one as haunting as the next, part human, part animal. The Watchers, they were called. They, too, had been warded in case of a breach. If someone were to step within the circle of white with an aura that read of hostility, the stone creatures would come to life and destroy them. Breaching the white tile had always given Valtor pause. He found himself staring at the immobile statues above, wondering if they, too, were looking down at him. A couple of times, he could have sworn he saw their eyes move. Pushing his qualms aside, he crossed the white stone. There was a platform waiting at its center. Mounting the steps, he made his way to a stone altar at the core of the dais. Each stone bore a unique rune used in the conjuring of what lay on top. Encased within the top of the altar was a large onyx basin, wrapped in intricate gold runes. The reflective black bowl was filled with a silver liquid. The Waters of Astereth, the journals had named it. He remembered the first time he laid eyes on the basin and its contents, how excited he had been at the prospect of what he was about to do. Stretching out his hands to conjure life into the bowl's placid state, he whispered, "Iriseth a Deomon." Stepping back, he lowered his hands and watched as the waters within stirred to life. He knew what was coming. He had seen the figure rise from its depths before. There was no mistaking the dark wizard's presence. Valtor kept his head bowed. "Lord Eredine, I await your command."
"Why do you summon me?"
The dark wizard's voice filled the chamber. Its resonance alluded to the authority it held.
"What failings have you come to report?"
Valtor took 3 steps back before raising his head to face the defiler. "My lord, I wish to report that the failing child has been found." He lowered his eyes, waiting for a response. When none came, he hazarded a quick glance toward the basin, where the stationary image of his master stood waiting, buried beneath a silvery shroud. "We have reason to believe we now know the whereabouts of most of the wielder councils as well, my lord."
"Good. Deal with them appropriately."
"Of course, my lord. I am also pleased to report our plans for Eremor and the throne of the High King are also coming to fruition. The crowned prince is more pliable than even I had anticipated. He will be easily controlled."
At least Valtor hoped he would. Dakaran had a way of rearing his head when least expected.
"Even now, he has initiated talks that could soon lead to the war between Alondria and Sealmar that we have long sought. Both kingdoms will soon be under our governance."
"Where is the boy?"
"He is in Easthaven of Sidara, my lord. The same place we believe one of these wielder councils now hides."
"Of course he is."
The room boomed with laughter. The sound was neither joyous nor pleasant.
"Nialis has wisely kept him close. He is, of course, using these Fenae to keep the failing hidden and protected."
Valtor nodded his agreement. His back, however, was not so inclined. It was beginning to grow weary of the bent posture he had taken. Valtor hoped to see a quick end to this little meeting, and soon.
"Nialis is the last of his kind, a dying breed,"
the apparition continued.
"In his effort to tend to my prison, he has resigned the opportunity to train another. The line of the Eredine wizards will soon come to an end, and my long-desired freedom will be at hand."
"Yes, my lord."
Eredine lifted his robed arm and pointed directly at Valtor.
"I want the failing alive and unspoiled."
The silver figure shrunk back into the basin once again.
"Failure will be dealt with most severely."
In shock, Valtor fell to his knees as an onslaught of pain exploded through his mind. It was as though someone had reached inside his head and squeezed. He had never felt anything like it before. Dropping his staff to the floor, he raised both hands and pressed them against his skull. His breathing had gone from sporadic to chaotic to not at all as he leaned forward and screamed in agony. And just as quick as it had appeared, the pressure was gone. His breath came in ragged bursts. Drool dripped freely from his mouth, and his face was drenched in sweat. He rubbed his hand across his wet chin and found it was covered in blood. There was a sharp, metallic taste in his mouth, and upon quick inspection, he found there was blood seeping from his nose, ears, and even eyes. What did this mean? Eredyne had never been able to touch the land of the living before. His prison must truly be deteriorating. For the first time, Valtor felt a moment of doubt, hesitancy in what he was attempting to do. He wondered if maybe his path was leading him in a direction he would soon regret.